462, Section 3, Progressivism in Georgia. As you read, look for Progressive Reforms in Georgia, the role played by Rebecca Latimer Felton, the extension of suffrage to women, terms, Progressivism, Suffrage, 19th Amendment. As populism faded throughout the country, a new reform movement had already begun. While populism was centered in the rural areas and composed mainly of farmers, this new movement began in cities where urban, middle-class, educated men and women began to call for reforms to deal with the problems brought on by industrialization and urbanization. This movement for reform was known as progressivism. Many of the urban and industrial problems that faced other parts of the country did not have as much impact in Georgia. Georgia did not have giant cities like New York. Although Georgia had some industry, it was usually small, and the companies were locally owned. Some Georgians, however, did feel the need for changes. Progressivism in Georgia, however, was much more modest than in other parts of the country. In the end, one of the progressive ideas that affected the most Georgians was women's voting. The Georgia legislature voted against it, but women got that right when enough other states voted for a constitutional amendment. A major reformer in Georgia who supported the right of women to vote was Rebecca Latimer Felton. Governor Hoke Smith and the Progressive Reform. In 1906, attorney Hoke Smith, owner of the Atlanta Evening Journal, was elected governor as a reformer. Like other progressives throughout the country, Smith believed that government had a role in regulating business and industry and in protecting the public. In his years as governor, 1907 to 1909 and then 1911, he supported campaign reforms, including an anti-lobbying law. He strengthened the Railroad Commission's power to regulate the railroads and gave the commission power over utilities such as electric companies and streetcar lines. He founded the juvenile court system in Georgia and convinced the legislature to increase funding for schools. In 1911, he established the State Board of Education and supported better funding for education. He also started the state's Department of Commerce and Labor and supported a 60-hour work week for textile workers. As we shall see in the next chapter, Smith also supported taking the vote away from African American men as a reform. One of the major targets of reform for Georgia's progressives was Georgia's justice system, which operated the convict lease system. Established in 1866, convict leasing had come under increasing fire from reformers, including religious leaders. The system had resulted in inhumane treatment for those convicted of even minor offenses. In 1908, the state passed a law that abolished the leasing out of prisoners to private business. Instead, prisoners could be used by the state or by local governments to work on the roads. While this was considered a reform at the time, this system also became abusive over time. To prevent prisoners from escaping, they were often chained together, leading to the infamous chain gangs. When he became a U.S. Senator in 1912, Smith continued his progressivism by introducing in the Senate two bills that bear his name. The Smith-Lever Act, 1914, established the system of agricultural extension agents who provided education and advice for farmers. This program still operates today. The Smith-Hughes Act, 1917, set up U.S. government support for vocational education in high schools. Women's suffrage. A progressive reform attempted unsuccessfully in Georgia was women's suffrage. Suffrage refers to the right to vote. The movement in Georgia was led by educated middle and upper class women. In the 1890s, southern states, including Georgia, had chapters of the National American Women's Suffrage Association, NAWSA. In 1895, the national organization had its nationwide conference in Atlanta. Two of the best known Georgia suffragists, as these reformers were called, were the sisters Rebecca Latimer Felton and Mary Latimer McClendon. Rebecca Felton became the more famous of the two. She was the wife of Dr. William Felton, leader of Georgia's independent movement of the 1870s and 1880s. She had first participated in politics, helping her husband's campaigns, and as a result was a strong opponent of the Bourbon Triumvirate. She became involved in the Women's Christian Temperance Union, WCTU, which worked to make alcohol illegal. Like many Southern women, the WCTU saw the prohibition of alcohol as an issue of defending the home. Rebecca Felton also worked to abolish the convict lease system and for educational reform. She was especially concerned about poor girls being able to get an education. Their activities with the WCTU and other projects to strengthen home and motherhood led Felton and other women to support women having the right to vote. If women could vote, they would be able to influence the laws in ways good for the home. The idea of women having political equality was, however, more reform than Georgia's politicians wanted. Even most Georgia women showed little inclination to allow voting. They saw it as being outside the proper role of a woman, whose focus was to be the home, not the sometimes hostile world of politics. In 1918, Congress passed the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which said women could not be discriminated against in voting. The amendment then went to the states for ratification. The Georgia legislature very quickly voted not to ratify. It was the first state to reject the amendment. In the end, Georgia's action did not matter. In 1920, the required 3/4 of the states had voted yes, and Georgia women got the right to vote along with women throughout the country. Within 2 years, women were voting in Georgia. Ironically, in spite of the opposition to women's suffrage, Georgia became the first state to have a female senator. In 1922, U.S. Senator Tom Watson died with 4 years remaining in his term. His friend, Governor Thomas Hardwick, appointed Rebecca Latimer Felton to Watson's seat until an election was held to choose a permanent replacement. By the time the Senate actually met again, Walter George had been elected to the seat, but he allowed Felton to serve the first day the Senate met. When she gave her first and only speech in the U.S. Senate, the 87-year-old Felton said, "The women of this country have reason to rejoice." Felton believed that other women would eventually serve. She had no idea how long that would take. Women being elected to office in Georgia would not come very quickly, and by the early 21st century, no woman had been elected to the Senate from Georgia. Reviewing the section, 1. Define progressivism, suffrage. 2. Which amendment gave women the right to vote? 3. Why do you think it took so long to give women the vote? Page 466, Georgia Portraits, Presidential Aide Archibald Butt. Presidents Theodore Roosevelt and William Howard Taft were both part of the progressive movement, although they differed on exactly how progressivism should do. They did agree that native Georgian Archibald Butt was an excellent aide. He served Roosevelt in the last year of his presidency and stayed on in the White House as the personal aide to Taft. Archibald Butt was born in Augusta in September 1865. His father died when Archie, as friends and family called him, was a teenager. His mother worked so he could attend and graduate from the University of the South in Tennessee. His first career was as a journalist working for the Louisville Courier and the Macon Telegraph, and as the Washington correspondent for several Georgia newspapers. He briefly left journalism while he served as the secretary of the U.S. Embassy in Mexico in the mid-1890s. When the Spanish-American War broke out in 1898, Butt volunteered for service and decided to remain in the military. Because he was so good at organization and logistics, he became part of the Quartermaster Corps, which coordinates supplies for the troops. In 1901, he became quartermaster in the Philippines, later Washington, D.C., and finally in Cuba. In April 1908, President Roosevelt tapped Captain Butt to serve as his personal military aide. When William Howard Taft rose to the presidency with Roosevelt's support, the captain stayed in the White House as Taft's aide. For the next few years, he was involved in all aspects of the president's daily life. He was the president's closest advisor, controlled appointments with the president, served as chief of protocol, and accompanied the president on all trips. In 1911, Captain Butt was promoted to major. Midway through Taft's presidency, Roosevelt became increasingly unhappy with Taft's policies. As the 1912 election approached, Roosevelt decided to run against him. Butt was close to both men, and the stress of their break took a toll on his health. Taft suggested that the major take a vacation. Butt traveled to Europe in March 1912, had an audience with the Pope, and left England to return to the United States on a grand ship named the Titanic. Page 462, Section 3, Progressivism in Georgia. As you read, look for Progressive Reforms in Georgia, The Role Played by Rebecca Latimer Felton, The Extension of Suffrage to Women, Terms, Progressivism, Suffrage, 19th Amendment. As populism faded throughout the country, a new reform movement had already begun. While populism was centered in the rural areas and composed mainly of farmers, this new movement began in cities where urban, middle-class, educated men and women began to call for reforms to deal with the problems brought on by industrialization and urbanization. This movement for reform was known as progressivism. Many of the urban and industrial problems that faced other parts of the country did not have as much impact in Georgia. Georgia did not have giant cities like New York. Although Georgia had some industry, it was usually small, and the companies were locally owned. Some Georgians, however, did feel the need for changes. Progressivism in Georgia, however, was much more modest than in other parts of the country. In the end, one of the progressive ideas that affected the most Georgians was women's voting. The Georgia legislature voted against it, but women got that right when enough other states voted for a constitutional amendment. A major reformer in Georgia. He strengthened the Railroad Commission's power to regulate the railroads and gave the commission power over utilities such as electric companies and streetcar lines. He founded the juvenile court system in Georgia and convinced the legislature to increase funding for schools. In 1911, he established the State Board of Education and supported better funding for education. He also started the state's Department of Commerce and Labor.